our way through the book of Luke, we've come up to chapter 5. So we'll be starting chapter 5 this morning, looking at the first 11 verses. Chapter 5, kind of in the midst of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because of your instruction, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of their boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were the sons, James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you again for this truth from your word. The fact that you sent your son. And this was even more proof of that. Lord, the God qualities that Jesus exhibited while here on earth. The fact that he had the attributes, Lord God, that only you can have. And yet, Father, he did so because of his dependence on you, because he is your son. Thank you, Lord, for your work in his life, in our life. Father God, for the example that Jesus gave out here on this earth. Thank you for the fact that what you say is true. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. Where we've come so far in Luke, the writer, Luke the Apostle, I'll get going with Paul here. Luke was the only Gentile writer of the Gospels, and he wrote to make a very precise statement of Christ's life. He wanted to show that Jesus was fully man, 100% man, and what he did here on this earth was given by God, and what he did as a man. So that's his theme throughout the book. He shows it in his birth and all of that. It's a special birth. It's a supernatural thing that's happened, and it's from God. The fact that God has sent his son. So he does that, and he shows all that through his baptism, through John's ministry, and then as we begin the ministry of Jesus. In Nazareth, we saw how he was not accepted in his own hometown. And then he went to Capernaum, and he's still there in Capernaum of Galilee. He has had his power displayed over sickness, over the physical. He's had his power displayed over the supernatural, casting demons out. And he's also had his power displayed in the purpose that God has sent him for. We looked at that last week. So now we're still there. We're still in Capernaum. We're still in Capernaum, and he is still teaching. So what we're going to look at today are the attributes of God in Jesus, how God used him in this specific way, and how Jesus was discerning of truth as his omnipotence, his omniscience. All of that came out in his life. So we're going to look at those attributes that are shown through Jesus' life here. The disseminating of truth is the first one. Start in verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him, listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had got out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began to teach the people from the boat. Now I want you to see how that starts, because it says, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him. Now it happened, because if we looked at it, that's how we'd look at it. Oh, well, it just happened that the crowd was pressing around him. And the more I read Scripture, the more I understand that nothing just happened to be that way. All right? God had a purpose. God, nothing in our life just happens to happen. Okay? God loves us as his children. And he has a purpose for what is going on. He has a growth pattern. I don't understand it all the time. You don't understand it all the time. But God has a purpose. And he had a purpose here. It just happened that the crowd was pushing around him. Why would they do that? Well, Jesus had healed a lot of people. Remember, he had, on that Sabbath day, he had gone to Simon's house. He had healed his mother-in-law. And then afterwards, a lot of people were bringing the sick to him. He was healing them all. He healed all of them. And even the next day, he had healed a lot of people. He had thrown out the demons. All of that had happened. So the word that was getting around, and by the way, Capernaum here was probably over a million people. Most likely at that point, there were over a million people there. So we look back, you know, a lot of times we need to get this in perspective, because we look back and think, well, it's probably a town like Bonaparte. No, it was a huge, massive place. So there were a lot of people, and they were hearing about this man who could heal. They were hearing about this man who was preaching with power and preaching something that was brand new, preaching with authority, teaching the word of God. And in fact, it even talks about that. Because it says here, it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Pressing around him, listening to the word of God. Now, in Matthew and Mark's description of this incident, they leave this section out. They leave out the section where he's talking to them about the fishing. Because their emphasis was something different. But what Luke wanted to show us is that Jesus was able to do this, and there was a purpose behind it. And the purpose behind it included the people he was doing this with. So he was pressing around him. They were hearing, they were listening to something. If you see it in verse 1, it says they were listening to the word of God. Now where it says the word of God here, it's not talking about the Old Testament scriptures, because they didn't have the New Testament at this point. They had the Old Testament, but that's not what he was... Now, that may have been included what he was giving, but the word for word here is rhema, and that is the spoken word. And it says the word of God. The word God is in a tense in the original language that means this is where those spoken words were coming from. So Jesus was totally dependent on his Father and was giving forth his Father's words to the people. And they were catching that. They were excited about it and pressing in and pressing him. And if you're pressing in on someone and there's a lake there, where else do you go? All right? Because they were pressing in on him, pushing him towards the lake. So he looked, he saw two boats, and the word for boats is, it's used fairly generally. It's also used, that specific word is used of the boat that Jesus and the disciples were in when they were on the lake and they hit the storm. So it had to have been it wasn't just a little rowboat, all right? It was a fishing boat, and for a fishing boat, they had to have room for the nets, they had to have room for each other, they had to have room for the fish. So it was a fairly good-sized boat. He saw the boats there, and you can put in that he just happened to see the boats there if you want to, because why were those boats there? And why was one of them Simon's? Well, we're going to see that, all right? He saw the boats there. The fishermen were out of them. They were washing their nets. He got in one and pushed it out, which just happened to be Simon's, and asked him to push it out. He did. Why would Simon do that? Well, he was, his mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. He had been to the synagogue with Jesus. He had heard his teaching. In fact, he could even probably hear where he was. He could probably hear the teaching he was doing now. But he was washing the nets. Now, in Galilee, this was, by the way, that lake, the Sea of Gennesaret, I believe it is. The Lake of Gennesaret, it's the Sea of Galilee. It is the same word. It's also called Tiberias, Sea of Tiberias. Very general words for the same place. But that Sea of Galilee, it was known for its fishing industry. Peter. Peter and Andrew, brothers, and James and John worked with them. But they worked together as partners, fishing for a living. And they did it at night. All right? Need to remember, the fishermen there, they fished at night. Because the fish would come into the shallows. It was not as hot, number one, but the fish would come in and they could use lanterns and stuff to draw the fish. And then they would put out their nets in the shallower water and they could draw up the catch. So they did their fishing at night, but they took care of their equipment during the day. They would check their nets, they would fix their nets, mend them, and then they would get their sleep and then they would go back out the next night. This was their living. This was what they knew. Now I need you to remember that Simon Peter, these guys knew what they were doing when it came to fishing. Okay, so he said, "Let us out, let me out, and I'd like to teach." He did it. He put them out just a little ways. The water would have carried his voice very well. He sat down. Verse 3. He sat down, and that was the position of the rabbi. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. You know, I was thinking about that. That's not a bad position. I could get a stool up here. I could sit down, and that's when everybody got quiet. When the teacher sat down, here you stand up, and everybody starts listening. But there you sit down. I thought that was pretty good. But anyway, that's beyond the point. Okay, back to verse 3. He sat down and began teaching the people. The word "began" is in the italicis, which means it's not in the original. He sat down teaching the people. In other words, and that word "teaching" is in the imperfect tense again, which means it's happened over and over and over and over. Christ was constantly teaching the people. And what was he teaching them about? The kingdom of God. Salvation. He was teaching them about the truth of the Messiah. He was teaching them about the true kingdom of God. We know that because of what it said in the last chapter. But let's go on. We're going to look at the omniscience and the omnipotence, the all-knowing and the all-power that was displayed in Jesus through God. Look in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, because he was in his boat, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because of your instruction, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. So here they were. He was finished speaking. That's in the middle voice. He chose to stop at this specific time for a purpose. He didn't just happen to finish right then. I love that. We get so wrapped up in, this just happened to happen. This just happened to me. No, God has a purpose. And look at his purpose, because it involves something that wasn't very great. Because he said, when he got finished speaking, said, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Okay, now here's Peter, who knows how to fish. You fish at night. You fish in the shallows because your nets aren't that big. You fish with the light so it'll draw the fish. And here Jesus is telling him to go into the deep water where the fish would have gone deep. They wouldn't be up in the shallow part. They would be deep because it's cooler in the heat of the day. So put into the deep water and cast out your net. And Peter's going, "You're a carpenter. I can tell you are not a fisherman. But he tells him to do this. And this is the master. And look at what Peter says. Verse 5. He answered and said, Master. Okay? Now that word master was not, it had no connection to deity. Right? It means chief or the chief leader here. Peter had a lot of respect for Jesus. He had a lot of respect. And you can tell that because he says, Master, here's what happened. You don't know this, but here's what happened. He said, we have worked hard all night. The word worked hard, literally the word work hard means to toil to the point of exhaustion. And in fact, that word also means to lose heart. We have been out all night and we are discouraged. We have lost heart with this whole fishing industry. We didn't do any good. We were there all night and we worked to the point of exhaustion and we didn't catch anything. Don't you understand? There is nothing there to catch. Okay, that was his attitude. There's nothing there. And I think he wanted to get that across without being, having a bad attitude. Because look what he says. He says, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because of your instructions, I will do it. Because of your instructions, I will do it. There's virtually no chance, I think, that they thought there's virtually no chance that there would be fish there. This had been discouraging enough. Why would Jesus add insult to injury here? Why would he tell them to go out and do something when they knew there was virtually no chance they would get anything out in the deep water in the middle of the day with their nets? There's just not a chance. But he said, you know what? Because you said it, I'll do it. He didn't understand here, but he chose to obey, which is a great attitude. But did you notice that Jesus didn't rebuke him for that? He didn't say, well, you know what? I told you to do it. Why didn't you just say, yeah, you betcha, I'm going to go do it? Because Peter had been trying and trying and trying and trying to do this. And Jesus said, now go do it in the worst time, in the worst place, in the worst way. Do it again. And Peter's going, you know what? We tried this. Now, I'm not being disrespectful, but we tried this, and it didn't work, and we're discouraged with it. We're disgusted. We're ready to, you know, start carpentering or something else. But here you're telling us to do it. Now, think about that. Think about the process that was going through Peter's mind. I mean, why would Jesus ask to do that? It's not wrong to question God and still trust. You see, Peter questioned God on it. He questioned Jesus on this. But he still said, since you said it, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. He had seen their miracles, the miracles that had gone on. He had seen what Jesus could do. But I don't think he was hoping for a lot, at least the way that it's worded. But God did reveal, and God will reveal why he needed to in his time. In fact, you go on and it says he got a big catch, got a great catch. God did reveal it pretty instantly. Sometimes it's not that instant. Sometimes it's not that quick. But I want you to know that the why is not as important as the obedience. The why is not as important as the obedience. I've told you this before, but when we moved down here originally back in 1990, we moved down to be pastor of the church, to co-pastor with somebody, and it lasted 6 months. And 6 months later, I resigned. 6 months later, I was sitting up here, right up here, and I was sitting up here and saying, all right, God, up in Minnesota, I could make $30 an hour carpentering, and I had started a business, and it was just building up there. We moved down here, I could make $10 an hour carpentering. And I hadn't even started the business, and we had just begun, and it was you know, like I had a storm door to put on that week. And I was going, all right, Lord, what in the world is going on? You know, and back then, and I had kids. We had, I don't know, how many do we have then? Five. We had five kids. So we had a bunch of kids to take care of, and I was like, Lord, you know, I don't understand this one at all. Now I can look back and see our family, the friendships we've made, the church here. I can look back and see that. At that point, I couldn't see it. Simon Peter here was looking at his experience, taking his experience and all, and he was a fisherman. He knew how to fish, and he was taking his experience and looking at the situation and saying, all right, I don't think this is going to work. I know from my experience this is not going to work. And we're pretty tired. We're pretty downtrodden. And you're asking us to go out and do something that's impossible. But since it's you asking, we're going to do it. Keep going. Verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. When they did it, they enclosed a great quantity. And the word great quantity is a massive amount, literally, with the nets breaking. They called their partners. Verse 7, they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. Now, whether the other boat was still on shore, whether Simon was the only one that went out, or whether they had both gone out, it doesn't say. But Simon had gone out, and he signaled them. They came, they brought their boat, came out to help them, and they came and filled both of their boats so that they began to sink. This was God's answer. This was Jesus' answer to them, saying, you know what? I don't know if I can, you know, physically I don't understand this. Physically this doesn't make sense. But since you say it, I'll do it. And it was overwhelming. Overwhelming. They had never had, I'm guessing they had never even heard of a catch like this. Especially in the middle of the day. They had never had one, for sure. Their boats began to sink. Jesus had that wisdom and power to catch fish when they shouldn't. The knowledge about the fish and fish where they were, where they had been, he had that. And Simon Peter saw something different here. What Simon Peter saw was amazing. Look at the calling of the four disciples here. Look in verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet. And the word feet, you might have knees there, because literally it's at the knees of Jesus. So it doesn't mean he fell down on his face. It means he fell before him in worship. You realize that? He fell before him as subordinate in a worshipful position. And he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He went from master to Lord. See, that word Lord wasn't always, but was one of the terms that was used for deity. And that's how he was using it here, because he was in a worshipful position. Do you see what he realized? He realized when he saw this, when he saw the greatness of God through Jesus, when he saw what Jesus could do, did do, what he realized was his own sinfulness. What he realized was his own inadequacy. And that's what he brought up. Because he was amazed. Verse 9. For amazement has seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. Amazement has seized him and his companions, which in the next verse says there were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. So these four men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were there. Andrew had introduced Peter to Jesus before this. And in fact, Andrew had seen him and said, that's got to be the Messiah, and introduced Peter to him. And James and John had been introduced to him. And then later on, we see that Simon is in the synagogue and invites Jesus to his home, and Jesus heals his mother-in-law. So there was a relationship building there. There was a knowledge of these people. They knew each other. But Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were still in the fishing business. They were still needing to make a living. They were still doing that. And then Jesus did this, and Peter said, you know what? There's a problem here. And the problem isn't with you. The problem is with me. I'm a sinful man. You need to go away. You need to not worry about me, about us. This was something impossible, and they knew it. Jesus needed Peter to recognize this, to break his pride, to see the truth, who Jesus really was. Do you ever wonder why Peter said that, though? Why he said, hey, you need to go away, because I'm sinful. I got to, you know, you look at Peter's character. You look at Peter's personality. And he was in a rough profession. He was in the fishing profession. It wasn't an easy thing. It was a rough thing, and they were known for a lot of things. And he was a leader. He was a definite leader. So what would his life have been like? I think it was probably pretty rough. And all of that came flooding in when he said, put out to the deep. He went out to the deep. He caught all these fish. This was a miracle, and Peter knew it. Peter knew this was not a natural flowing event. He knew it was a miracle. And all of that sinful self came up because he knew he was standing in the presence of the Messiah. All of his sinfulness came up. This was proof of his deity here. And he said, go away. Just like Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah, in the Old Testament, Isaiah went into the throne room of God. What did he say? I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a people of unclean lips. In other words, I'm going to die. It's basically what his attitude. I'm going to die. This was the same thing that Peter said. Look, I'm a sinful man. You're way too holy for me. I'm going to die. This is, you need to leave. You need to go and be around somebody a lot better than me. He saw himself as who he really was. Someone in need of a Savior. And Jesus calls him. Jesus calls him. Look, this is great. Verse 10, the end of verse 10. Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. So in other words, you've been catching fish and killing them. Now you're going to catch men and give them life. He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Because Simon was afraid. He was fearful because of his sinfulness. He was in fear because of the righteousness of God, because of the righteousness shown of God shown in Jesus Christ. Because he was looking at it realistically. So Jesus put that to rest and do not fear and said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Literally. You'll be catching men. And look at verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. When they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I want to catch this. I wrote it down. I can't find it here. But this was amazing. This whole catch thing was something that hadn't happened hardly at all. And now I've completely lost my notes. Oh, well. You know you should never write notes. I always lose my place and then lose my place where I'm thinking. Then I got to go ask Chris where I was. And she laughs and shakes her head. So then I know I'm in trouble. All right, let's put together the situation. Here they are. They had fished all night. They were discouraged. Jesus says, put out in the deep. They're going, I know there aren't any fish out there. We tried where there were fish. There aren't any fish out there. They went out there. They caught a whole bunch. Simon comes in and says, you know what? I'm sinful. You need to leave because I'm sinful. And he says, you know what? I'm forgiving. And I want you to come. I want you to follow me. And then Mark and some of the other Gospels, Mark and Matthew, Jesus extends the call. This isn't just an assumption. They didn't follow him because, well, you know, he says he's going to make me fishers of men, but I think I'll just follow. No, Jesus said, come and follow me. So it wasn't just assumption with Peter and Andrew and James and John. Jesus said it, come, follow me. And they did. And look at what they did in verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left it there. They had just made the catch of their life. They had just gone and caught the most fish they had ever caught at one time. And it was sinking their boats. It was so great. They were profitable. The night before, they weren't profitable. They worked all night. Didn't have any money to come for. Now they had all these fish. They were profitable again. And their fathers were there. I mean, their fathers took the fish, all right? They didn't just leave the fish and they brought it. Their dads were still there. And they had the business. But they left their dream of catching huge amount of fish, and they left it. And they left the boats that were their profession. They walked off from that and followed him because they knew who he was. They recognized exactly who he was. They left it because of conviction of the truth. All of us, folks, all of us are called to follow. Not all of us are called to leave our town, to leave our job. We're not all called to do that. But we are all called to follow him and yield. It's the natural result of true belief. We're not talking about sinfulness either. We're talking about trust. Because Peter recognized his sinfulness. As soon as he saw that, he recognized his sinfulness. But he still trusted. He said, since you said it, I'm going to do it. He can lead you. In the midst of your job, he can lead you. And he can lead you out of your job. He can lead you in the midst of whatever relationship you're in or whatever disease you have. He can lead you in the midst of that, or he can lead you out of that. That's his choice. You recognize that's his choice, and he loves you. And as much as I hate to say it, our feeling good isn't his main priority. I wish it was, don't you? And I know that's the stupidest thing in the world to say. Because if it was, then what's it been? 20 since 90, and yeah, 26 years ago, 27 years ago this year, I would have been feeling real good and just stayed there and not grown at all by having to resign and having to lead the youth group and having to learn the value of the church and the value of people and learn how to communicate with people. And I would never have grown. And my trust to God, I would never have grown. And you would never have grown if you had this simple life of always feeling it. And God knows that. And we can trust God. And Peter would never have come to the fact that he was sinful before God. If God had said, you know what, you've been going all night, just relax today and you can try it again tomorrow night. It'll feel a lot better. That wasn't his main focus. It was to grow Peter. It was to choose Peter. It was to call him to come and be his disciple. And we look at Peter's life and Andrew and James and John, and we look at God chose him. They were his disciples. What a place to be. What a fabulous place to be. They had to give up a massive amount of fish. They had to give up their boat. They had to give up what they knew. And later on, they try and go back to it. But that's a whole other story. But he can use us in our job. He can use us out of it. He can use us in our life. He can use us out of it. He can use us. And he will use a servant's heart. You know, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's the one that puts the servant heart into you. It's not manufactured by us. He gives us the desires of our heart. He puts desires in our heart. And those desires match his desires. He is looking for that servant's heart, but he can't find it unless you have salvation, unless you have trusted in him. If you've never trusted in Christ, please consider the fact that he loves you and he sent his son. God sent his son to die for you, to pay for your sin. Peter here recognizes sinfulness. What he needed to recognize was that Jesus was the answer to that sinfulness. Trust him in the middle of what doesn't make sense for you. Sometimes that's the only way for us to grow. whatever in your life doesn't make sense to you, trust him. Because, man, there's a lot of things in our life that just doesn't make sense. Doesn't seem like God is listening or can hear us or wants to hear us because he's not answering my way. But you know what? We're not answering his way sometimes. He is in charge, and he does love us, and he will lead us. That's why, even in my prayer this morning, I said he will never, never leave us. He will never, never, never forsake us. You know what that is? That's God's word. That's what God said. And if God said it, we can rely on it. It's absolutely true. Let's close in prayer. Father,